Today is the second in the teaching on 2020 vision. All of us here want change in our life. We want something better. We are, to some extent, dissatisfied with what we have, and we would like to get healed, have our business prosper, enjoy prosperity, enjoy a good marriage, have a child, get married, have a second child, stop having children. We would like to maybe own our own home, get a car. We want these things. You say, well, you're just talking about prosperity. No, I'm talking about prosperity in every area of your life, whether it's mental, whether it's peace, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your children, whether it's education. It doesn't matter what it is. And the Bible is full of it. Can't run away from it. You know, God has streets of gold. What are we going to do? Yeah. Can't complain about prosperity. Talk to him. He's the one who started it. I'm going to share with you seven things that God has given us, how we can have our needs met. We can also have our desires met. Honestly, your dreams and your goals can be met. God wants you to have more than you've got right now. That's why he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Why would he say that? What he's saying is you've got limited thinking. There's more that he wants to do for you. And I'm going to share with you seven things that God has shared with me straight out the scripture so that you can achieve those dreams and goals. Let me say 2020, this year and this decade, is going to be a phenomenal year and a phenomenal decade. It's going to be a time of transformation, a time of change. And, you know, in numerology, which is the study of numbers in the Bible, it's very important. God hides truths in these numbers. And the number 9 is the end of our numbering system. We go from 0 to 9. That's the end of our numbering system. And that 9 means it's the end of something. When we want to start the next number, we go 1, 0. So when we get the 0, it's actually the beginning of something. Just like we started 0, it's the beginning of something. So 2019 going to 2020 indicates there's going to be an end to some things, and there's going to be a beginning of some things. And some of you would like some things to end. Hello. Only 3 of you. I've got the wrong crowd. Cindy, start the car. I'm out of here. How many want some new things to begin? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's for a minute, I thought I missed God in my preparation. Abraham, well, his name was Abram, wasn't fully extended. He was 75 years old when God first visited him in vision form and promised him a son. His wife was barren, Sarah. 24 years goes by, there's no child. Now he is 99 years old. And Sarah is 90. Listen to those numbers. 99 and 90. God visits him again, reestablishes his covenant with him, and the very next year, Isaac is born. 99, 100. Isaac is born. Just saying. Look in the numbers. You can find something there. So 2020 is going to be a phenomenal decade and a phenomenal year. Now, if you want change, if you want to improve what your life is right now, if you want change, I'm going to give you 2 things that are critical, but not part of the 7. 2 things that are critical. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to renew your mind to the Word of God. To the Word of God. Why is that critical? Because it's only when you start to change the way that you think and begin to think God's way that you can actually have God's will. Because if you don't know God's will, you can never have it. God will never force his will upon you. You have to believe for it, receive it, and accept it. And you can't know that until you've renewed your mind by the scriptures. What does it mean? It means there is a paradigm shift. There's a paradigm change. There is a difference in the way that you think. You don't think like you used to think. You think a new way. You think in line with the scriptures. It's a great example where God brought Israel out of Egypt's captivity. They were there 430 years. He brings them out, delivers them. He promises them, listen, we're on the way to Canaan land. Moses says, we go to the Canaan land. It's a promised land for them. They're en route. The problem is that while he got them out of Egypt, he couldn't get Egypt out of them. So they kept on thinking like they were slaves. And they treated God that way. They even often said, take us back. We were better off there. Imagine saying to God, the way you're treating us, we should go back and be slaves. It didn't make God happy. So at the end of the day, they died in the wilderness, never making it to the promised land, only their children 20 years and under. Listen carefully, child of God, listen carefully. There are promises that God has put in his word for you, but you could die in the wilderness and never get them until you change the way you think. What am I talking about? Well, you know, all of us were unsaved at one time. All of us. We didn't care about God, cursed him, did our own thing. We were living under a curse. We were living in the world, and we were thinking like the world. Not only were we thinking like the world, we were actually being controlled by our five physical senses, which is carnal thinking. It's thinking from the mind and from your emotions and having your emotions control you. So now you get born again, and God wants a paradigm change in the way that you think. To stop thinking like the world, stop thinking limitation, stop thinking you're a grasshopper, stop thinking by your emotions, stop thinking about your from your unrenewed mind, and change your stinking thinking and begin to believe and to think like God thinks. Literally, once you've had the paradigm change, you start to see things from God's perspective. You start to see things through God's eyes. And until that happens, remember this, until that happens, you will be dependent upon your own carnality and human ability to get through life. As a Christian, you will not access God's wisdom or God's ability or God's power or God's anointing because your mind will not permit you to do it. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I know it might be hitting you real hard, but I hope it's sinking in and making notes. Okay, the second thing you're going to have to do, and again, I haven't got to my 7 points. The second thing you're going to have to do, I'm just warming up. Okay, I'm circling. I'm waiting, looking for a place to land. Right now, there's too many airplanes. I've got to land. Okay, here we go. The second thing is this. You're going to have to develop an intimate relationship with the most important person in the world. Who is the Holy Spirit? You have to develop because he is the one who's going to take you to your end goal. He's the one who's going to produce the dreams and visions in your life. He's the one who is the power. He is God's presence. When Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, he was talking about the Spirit of God being with you. He wasn't talking about him because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. When he said, I am in the Father, Father's in me, and we'll be in you, he was talking about the Holy Spirit being in you. He wasn't talking about him physically with his body coming to be in you. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he wants us to understand and to appreciate the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Are we happy?
Yes.
All right. Point number one, I spoke about last week. You must have a clear-cut goal. You must have a clear-cut goal. This goal must be written down. It cannot be a wishy-washy goal. In other words, it is not a hope-it-happens goal. All right, you could have hope it happen goals, and that's what will happen. I hope it happens. That's the end of that, okay? Now listen carefully. The 7 things I'm going to be sharing with you, you know I'm not going to get through them today already. You already know that. When you start down this track, Satan's going to come against you like a tsunami because he does not want you to follow through on these things. Let me show you. Do you mind if I stand on your toes for 1 minute? God will heal them. So let me stand there. Okay? Listen. 2 weeks ago, I told you have to have a clear-cut goal. It has to be written down. Yes? Okay. Don't raise your hand. How many did it? Okay. I said, don't raise your hand. Okay. Because I didn't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to embarrass you. But I do want to point out to you that if Satan can talk you out of the very first goal, the very first step, he's got you. Don't worry about the rest. If you're not going to get obedient and follow these things, I'm preaching to the wind. And so I'm standing on your toes right now. When you go home, you need to do step 1, 2, and 3 that we'll get to today. Please, Jesus. Okay. So, you got to, amen. Listen, when you write your goal represents the hope you have of your future. Let me just sit on that one a bit. Your goal represents the hope you have in your future. In other words, your goal represents the plan that you have for your future. If you have no goal, you have no plan for your future. And here's a thought. It's your future that you're going to live in. Why won't you plan how you want to live in your future? Why do you want it just to be haphazard? Kumsakabsi, whatever that word is, let it just happen. I don't know what that word is. How to say it? Kumsi, kumsa. What language is that?
French.
Can't speak French. Oui. Oui. Don't mess with me. Okay. So, no goal means you have no direction. No goal, no direction. Write as many goals as you can think of. Don't limit yourself. Okay. But here's the thing. I want to show you how important having a clear-cut goal is. There was a survey done, a national survey was done, and this is what showed in the survey. 27% of the people have given no or gave no thought to their future at all. 60% gave some thought to it when concerning finances. 10 people gave considerable thought to it, but only 3% of the people, only 3% had written down goals. The same survey produced these astounding statistics. 27% of the people were welfare recipients. 60% of the people barely getting along. 10% of the people were well off, and only 3% were highly successful. Exactly the same numbers. Now, the only common factor amongst those who were highly successful, those 3%, was that they had written down goals. The only thing. They did not take into consideration education, gender, race, ethnic group. None of those things were taken into consideration. What language they spoke was irrelevant. Only one thing they looked for, did they have written down goals. 3% highly successful. 10% okay. Wow. 87% of the people were in trouble. Let's hope that we have more than 3% here that I can obey what I'm instructing you to do. All right, are we ready? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, successful people plan for the future. All right, let me give you principle number two. Principle number one, we covered at length in the first time. Principle number two is you must have a burning desire. Write down burning desire, burning desire. Henry Ford was walking along a lake one day with his grandson, and his grandson looked up and he said, "Grandpa, what do I have to do to become successful like you?" So Henry Ford, just holding his hand, walked into the lake with him until they got about waist deep in the lake. Then he grabbed his grandson behind the scruff of his neck and put his head under the water. And the kid was screaming and bubbling underneath and shouting and everything else. Eventually he pulled him up and he said to him, "When you want success as badly as you want the next breath of water, you'll get it. Until then, you will not have it." I'm talking about a burning desire. A burning desire. And if you don't have the burning desire, it's not going to happen. Now let's look at some scriptures. First of all, let's look at what Jesus said about desire. He said in Mark 11:24, he said this, "What things soever you desire." Everybody say desire. Desire. Notice it didn't say what you need, it said what you desire. Some people, "God will give you just your needs." No, no, no. That's why I'm talking about desires. Those things that you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. There's four things that I want to bring your attention to in that scripture. Jesus said, whatever you desire, so there has to be the desire. That's why I'm telling you, you have to have a burning desire. Jesus said, you have to have the desire. Then he said, when you pray. So there's prayer got to be involved, and we're going to get to that. That's one of the seven things. But here's the problem. Many people pray too early. And they haven't set it up correctly, and their prayer fails. And they don't know why their prayer fails. Oftentimes, prayer is played flippantly. Just pray for me. I have this need or whatever it is. A little prayer, away we go. Pat you on the back, away you go. And that little prayer doesn't work. See, I'm here as your pastor. I want to love you and let you know that I love you and God loves you. But a lot of things that we do them for religious purposes, and they ain't any good. You need to understand something. Jesus didn't come to earth to bring a religion. But they've made a religion out of Christianity. He brought a kingdom with a king and subjects in the kingdom. So number one, got to have a desire. Number two, you have to pray. But number three, when you pray, you have to believe. What do you have to believe? That you receive it. Most people never ever do that. They pray and the next minute they'll ask somebody else, would you pray with me about the same thing? Why would you pray about the same thing if you received it 5 minutes ago? It means you didn't believe you received. Jesus said you have to believe you received. And the fourth thing he said, you will have it. That's why the goal is somewhere in the future. You will have it. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. When you do what? When you delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? It means you delight yourself in your relationship with God. Yes. It means you have a fun relationship with God. Yep. You play golf with him. You go to the movies with him. You go to dinner with him. He's with you all the time. He loves to hang with you. He wants to fellowship with you. And also delighting yourself in the Lord means an intimate relationship. Amen. And that's why I said you have to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. You have to enjoy Christ. You have to enjoy being a Christian. It should not be a burden and a drag. It should not be, oh, Jesus, Sunday, we've got to get up, go to church. It should be Saturday night. Man, I can't wait church tomorrow. These are clothes I'm going to wear tomorrow. I'm getting ready for this. Let's go to bed early so we can be bright and sharp for the next day. Amen. That's what it should be like. It should be like, I'm excited to go, to be there. Yeah. Right? Delight yourself. Third scripture, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. And it shall be done for you. Say this with me. If and.
If.
Say it again. If and.
If
you abide in me, and my word abides in you. You see, all Christians are in Christ. Automatically, you get born again, you're in Christ. So all Christians abide in Christ. But the second part of what Jesus said is, and my word abides in you. Where do you abide? That's your home address. That's where you abide. You sleep there, you go home, that's your home address, okay? Is God's word at home in you? Do you have sufficient of God's word dwelling in you that you're comfortable with it and it doesn't feel like somebody renting? And when God's word speaks up in you, you go, get there behind me. What do you mean, tithe? You see what I'm saying? When God's word comes up, do you go, oh, thank you for that truth, Lord. Thank you for that truth. Is it abiding in you? Are you enjoying with it? So you have to abide in Christ and God's word abides in you. And then he said, you shall ask what you? I can't hear you. What you?
Desire.
One more time.
Desire.
All right. No need to shout. Okay. So what you desire. What you desire. I've given you three scriptures. That's enough. Now, if you don't have a burning desire for your goal, it will not happen. A lukewarm goal is never achieved. It has to be on fire. It has to be burning hot and red hot. So the question is this. How badly do you want your goal to happen? That will determine the motivation. Are you that committed to having your goal? Do you have that burning desire that you can stay up late? Pray for it, get up early in the morning, meditate on the scriptures that promises you this goal. And we gave you a lot of scriptures last week, and I also encourage you to go find your own scriptures. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to sacrifice TV time? If you're not willing to sacrifice TV time for your goal, you don't have a burning desire. Thank you for those three holy grunts. I'll take all I'll get. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If you can't get the fire going, you lack oil. If you've got a burning desire for something, or you've got a desire for something, but it's lukewarm, ask the Holy Spirit for oil. Have Him pour oil on your floundering wick. So it can, that smoking wick can turn into a flame. Because you need that flame to get the job done. Why am I saying this? You see, listen, people, listen. We can become complacent with a marriage that's falling apart, with a husband that won't do what he's supposed to do, kids don't do what they're supposed to do, and we get complacent with the sickness that we've had for so long. And if those are here that are sick, you understand, I have a heart of compassion for you, man. Jackie had a stroke 20 years ago. Please, you're talking to somebody who's living this. These are things that I am doing, so I'm talking to you from my heart. But we can become complacent when a Tylenol can fix the problem, or an ibuprofen can fix the problem, or a little massage can take it out, or something else, and we can live with the problem. We've become complacent, and we don't have a burning desire to get healed and to get out from under that thing. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour oil on that word inside you, that by His stripes you are healed. And resist the devil enough to get out of it. Don't settle. You know, you all know what we're going through with Jackie. You all know. So, I have a burning desire and I have a goal to see Jackie healed and completely fulfilled in every respect. So, I spend many hours every single day in prayer and in the Spirit and meditating on scriptures concerning her healing, such as 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. I've got 3 pages of scripture that I've rewritten with her name in it, so I can call her name when I'm doing it. Okay? I have a burning desire, and I have a goal to see her healed. It's not lukewarm. I can tell you what, if it was lukewarm, she'd be dead already. You need to know that. So what do? I apply principle number 3. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
How many want to know what it is?
Yes.
It's not enough of you. Okay. Principle number 3 is visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. Now, this is not the same thing as writing a goal. It is not the thing. You write down a goal, you spell it out, you write it down. A vision and a dream is something different. It's something different. Because when you get the vision and the dream, the Holy Spirit empowers the vision and the dream. So I visualize, point number 3, I visualize Jackie walking on my arm. I visualize her sitting next to me in church with hands raised, worshiping God. I visualize with her standing here praying for the sick. I visualize her in the car next to me. For a year, she hasn't been next to me. So I visualize her next to me. I visualize us Oceanside Harbor having a sunset dinner. I visualize us going for lunch after church. I visualize her sitting at the dining room table having breakfast and lunch and dinner with her. I visualize her sitting next to me on the little chair that she's got and watching some TV. I picture it in my mind. I picture in my mind her sitting outside on our balcony watching our flowers and the birds and the butterflies. I form pictures in my mind of not what she is now, because I'm not looking at what I can see. I'm looking with a renewed mind through God's eyes, with God's perspective. This battle is over. The victory is won. And I'm looking through the eye of faith, because I don't look at what is seen. I look what is unseen, and I look with my spirit through visions and dreams. Do you understand the difference? It's not a written goal. In other words, my dream captivates me. My vision possesses me. I'm owned by my vision and my dream. It's a thing that now motivates me. And you must begin to dream and to have visions until it totally captivates you and it motivates you to change. Why is this important? Because it is the language of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you now, you've read the scripture and you've heard the scripture over and over and over, but I believe right now by the Holy Spirit, 99.9% of you are going to get a revelation you've never had before in your life. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit communicates with you, why you have to have an intimate relationship with Him. Verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, which we're living right now, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Are you all people?
Yes.
On all people. Okay, not limited to certain people, all people. I will pour out my Spirit. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So I'm in the second category now. I'm starting to dream. He didn't say, on my prophets I will do it. He said, on my servants, daughters, sons, on all flesh, I'm going to do it. Even on my servants and both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit because He is the one who knows the future. And you need His help. See, John 16, verse 15 says, I will tell you of things to come. I will tell you of things to come. The Holy Spirit speaks, this is the way He speaks, through visions and dreams. Reinhard Bonnke, and I'm sure you all know who Reinhard Bonnke was. He's passed on, been to glory now, since last month. He was around 30 years of age. He had four dreams in succession. It's the same dream each night. And he dreamt of the map of Africa being washed in the blood of Jesus from Cape Town to Cairo. And while he was watching this in his dream, he heard these words, Africa shall be saved. That changed him so dramatically because it was the voice of the Holy Spirit through visions and dreams. Up until that time, the biggest crowd he could get was 20 people in his little church in Misiru, in Gaborone. It was one of the countries where we lived right next to it. I could get there in about 2 hours from where I lived. He died at the age of 79. 49 years later, he had led 79 million people to Christ. He will go down in history as the greatest evangelist who ever lived in the entire history of Christendom, because the Holy Spirit spoke a word to him, gave him a vision, and spoke a word to him and gave a dream to him. It's essential that you develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit so He can talk with you and so you can hear His voice. He is the one who's going to give you guidance. He's the one who's going to give you instruction. Now, real quick, in the Old Testament, God used His prophets and He spoke to them through visions and dreams. That's the way He did it. And I'll quote you the scripture. In Numbers 12:6, He said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions and I speak to them in dreams. That's the language of the Holy Spirit. The first time it is mentioned in the Bible, and I like to always say it's the first time something is mentioned so important, is when God spoke to Abraham, and He spoke to him, again, it was Abi, wasn't full Abraham yet, spoke to him in a vision in Genesis 15:1. He said, and the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and He said, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield and your very great reward. Then we all know about Joseph. We all know the man with the colored coat. Remember, he had two dreams when he was young. The one, he was out in the field and they were making the sheaves, and the 11 bowed down to his, and his brothers got all upset with him because he had 11 brothers plus himself, indicating that they're going to bow down and serve him. Then he had another dream, which was about the moon and stars, also bowing down to him. That indicated the whole family. Did it happen? If you know your Bible, did it happen? Exactly, exactly. And those dreams that he had actually got him thrown into the pit. From the pit, he went to Egypt. From Egypt, in Egypt, he went into the prison. Okay? So, that's where the dreams and the visions got him. When he was in the prison, the butler, or the cupbearer of the king, and the baker were thrown into prison. They had dreams. They spoke to him, and he interpreted the dreams. He said to the cupbearer, you're going to be reinstated in 3 days. He said to the baker, you're going to lose your head in 3 days. Exactly the same thing happened. Boom. Exactly. He understood dreams and visions. It was that interpretation that got him in front of Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh had the dream, remember, of the seven fat cows and the seven thin cows. And nobody understood what it was. And the fat cows ate the thin cows. And then they called Joseph. Joseph interpreted it for him. The king said, fantastic. And he went from prison to vice president overnight. So don't be disappointed if at first you have a dream or a vision and you end up in prison or it goes the wrong direction. You go, but God, you said, Hang on. Sit tight. Buckle up. Buckle up. Be patient, because you have to believe, and it's going to come to pass as God has promised. All right. There are many others. Daniel, of course, is one of the great vision people in the Old Testament, and he was able to understand mysteries. And we have Daniel's 70th week at the end of eschatology, the great tribulation period, 7 years, all came from Daniel. All right, let's fast forward to the New Testament real quickly. All right, let's go to the New Testament. All right, now you'll notice everything I'm going to show you in the New Testament here is about what to do in their future. Listen carefully, what to do in their future. Do you remember Joseph was told to marry Mary? Remember the Lord came to him in a dream and an angel appeared to him and he said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now listen, guys, don't get this idea that you've had a dream about a woman. You're going to have to say, listen, God told me I'm going to marry you, okay? She's not Mary and you're not Joseph. Don't do that. If you want to chase her away out of your life, go ahead. But I've just given you some marriage counseling. Don't do that. Stupid should be painful. Okay. Then what happened is that, and then King Herod wants to kill the children. So again, the angel appears to him in a dream and says, take the child and Mary and flee. Go to Egypt. Again, concerning your future. This is what you must do in your future. Then when Herod dies, again, the angel appears to him and says, you can go back now. The Herod is dead and you're fine. All right. We move fast forward to the book of Acts. Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion. He was from Italy. He was working in the Roman army. Okay. He had 100 men underneath him. And the angel appears to him in a vision and says to him, I want you to go and get Peter. Peter's going to tell you words why you must be saved concerning your future. Peter's in another part of another town, and he has a vision. And in the vision, God says to him, I want you to take the gospel to the Gentiles, who were then considered pigs and unclean. Right? But he said, I want you to take it to them. So concerning the future of the Gentile nation and concerning Peter's future, God spoke to him through a vision and a dream. Bible says, God said to him, don't hesitate. Go with the men when they come. Don't hesitate, for I have sent them. Then Paul needed some encouragement and some direction where to preach. Acts 16 and verse 9 says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over to us and come over and help us. So there's a vision, a night vision, a dream. And he gets direction for his future. This is what you need to do. So Paul follows that. Then Paul needs instruction concerning preaching in Corinth because he is afraid they're going to kill him. In Acts 18 and verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in the city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. All about the future. The month was April 1979. I was reading a magazine called The Word of Faith, sitting in South Africa, from Kenneth Hagin's Ministries. And I saw about this great convention that was going to happen in Tulsa. Who's who is going to be there? Brother Hagin's going to be there. Fred Price is going to be there. John Osteen is going to be there. Norval Hayes is going to be there. I mean, it just goes on and on. They're all going to be there. So, Lord, I want to go. I love Caps. I want to go and hear what he's got to say. I'd love to be there. And the Lord spoke into my heart and said, you can go. And I go, awesome. But I don't have any money. I have zilch money. I mean, talking about zilch money. I have nothing. And the Lord said, I'll supply. And then I said, Lord, if you did supply, Jackie would take it for her house. We are living in a rented house. Jackie wants a house. And for us to go to America, it's going to cost a lot of money. She'll take it for her house. And the Lord spoke again to my heart, and he said, if she takes it, she will not get her house, neither will you go to America. I go, whoa, all right. So we're going to go to America, and I have to explain this to her, okay? He said, if you go to America, you also get your house. So we decided we want to go, okay? We want to go, but I have no money. Well, that month, the movie Jesus was released in South Africa. And they had a grand showing and receiving up an offering to finance the showing of this movie throughout the African continent, South African particularly. And when they finished the showing, they wanted to receive an offering. And I said, Jackie, how much should we give? And I said, let's pray. And we had 300. This is South African money. We had 300 rand. That's all we had. Okay, it's a little bit of money, 300. And I've got 100 in my heart. So I said to her, how much should you give? And she said, 100. I said, okay, we've got agreement. Let's do that. We sowed 100. Now, what we just did is we set into motion the law of sowing and reaping. You see, you want a goal to come to pass, but you've got to set certain laws into motion. If it's a financial goal, if it's a house, a car, getting out of debt, prospering your business, cannot be achieved without starting or setting into motion the law of sowing and reaping. Do you understand?
Right.
So listen carefully. So we set that into motion, and we then believe God for it. Well, I then said to my parents, now we got a burning desire. We want to go. Okay? We're going. How do you know you're going? Well, we gave $100. And so what? God said, I can go. God said, I've got his word. I can go. So I said to my parents and Jackie's mom, would you please take care of Hannah and Cindy? We're going to America for 3 weeks. My dad was livid. He was so angry with me. Not everybody's going to be happy with your dreams and goals. Like Joseph's brothers. We're not happy with him. Okay? So I said, Dad, God's going to provide the money. He said, we gave you groceries last week. I want to say to him, stop living in the past, you know? So I said, I appreciate that, but we're going to America. Well, that month, we went out, we went to the travel agent, we booked a tour, Tulsa, or different places, including a week in Hawaii. If you're going to come from Africa, you might as well go to Hawaii, right? Beautiful vacation. Since you don't have any money, it doesn't matter what you plan. Right? Doesn't matter. Might as well plan it all. Well, that month we earned 10,000 rand that month. And the last day of the month, a deal was done. I took the paperwork and the check, went into the insurance company. I was a broker back then, right next to being broke right then. Anyway, and I took it in and I said to them, would you give me the commission now? And they said, we don't do that. We're going to process it. I said, I need it now. And they said, okay, against company policy, they gave me the money. I went from the company to the travel agent and paid for the trip. And the next day, we left for America. Well, if you're going to clap, clap. When we returned, we were so full of faith and enthusiasm that it opened doors for me to begin ministering. I mean, I was bubbling over. I was just telling everybody what happened. And it began my life of ministry. It started right there. Isn't that crazy? Within 12 months, Jackie had her home. Within 6 months, I joined Bible college. And 14 months from getting back, we had our first outreach in Valcom when Andrew got saved. That all happened because I listened to that voice, the vision and the dream, and I put something to motion in giving, and then I believed God for it, and we went for it. You understand what I'm talking to you about today?
Yes.
All right. So the Holy Spirit uses visions and dreams to impart faith to you for your future. The Word gives you faith, but the vision and dream the Holy Spirit will give you faith for your future. It's an awesome thing. It's hope, faith for your future. Back to Abram, and I'll wrap it up with this. Genesis chapter 15. Remember Abram? He says to God, you've given me no children. So my servant in my household is going to be my heir. And the Lord says to him, no, that's not going to happen. The word of the Lord came to him and said to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said to him, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He gives him a vision. He says, count the stars. That's a vision. You understand what he's doing? He's giving him a natural vision to impact him so that his faith can rise. He says, that's what your offspring is going to be. Count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I can't. What Abram didn't know was that God was talking about us. The Gentile nations are going to be his children. He's our father in the faith. He didn't know that. He thought he was talking about natural offspring. The Bible says that he believed God and it was accounted him for righteousness. Then 24 years goes by, there's no child yet. So Genesis 22, verse 17, God says to him again, he reconfirms his vision to him, and he says, the contract with him, the covenant with him, and he says, surely I will bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. He reminds him of his vision. And then he says, and as the sands of the seashore. That was important to him because he was living in desert-like country. He knew what sand was all about. And he says to him, this is what it's going to be. So he gives him vision. Holy Spirit's language is visions and dreams. He will give you vision. When you get a burning desire and when you get that goal vision in your mind and your heart, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and he will use that and he will move you in that direction and he will set your light. But you've got to have a burning desire and you've got to have that vision and that dream. If you don't have it, Holy Spirit can't speak to you about it. If it doesn't matter to you, the Holy Spirit can't light wet wood. I'm going to say it one more time. If it doesn't matter to you, the Holy Spirit can't light wet wood. After our sixth visit to America, that was the beginning. After our sixth visit to America, we began dreaming of living here. We were like, this is an amazing place. The whole country is like a Disneyland. There's fast food places everywhere. It's just crazy. There's Dairy Queens and stuff. You can go. Nobody needs to be starving in America. Food is so cheap. All you can eat $5.99 at the Sizzler. Go in there and pig out. Beer guts. Eat all you can eat. Have your family drag you out by your heels. I'm telling you, it's remarkable. This is such a blessed country. On one occasion, Pastor Alan Higgins was visiting us and preaching for us in Welkom, South Africa. And he offered to sponsor us. He said, come and work for me. Come and work for me in Ridgecrest, California. I didn't know what Ridgecrest meant. I thought California was great until you'd gone to Ridgecrest. You need faith to live there. So when he offered us the job, it changed everything for us. What happened was our dream suddenly became a burning desire. It went backwards. It became a burning desire. And we started to go, okay, now we really want to go. I got maps out of America and laid on them and prayed over them. Where do you want me to go, Lord? God, are you coming with me? God, I'm going even if you're not, you know? Thank God there were churches on fire. I said, God, no, you're in America. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we went to prayer and we prayed about it. We said, God, is this really from you? Can we do this? Can we do this thing? And we got an answer from God. And then we started to plan. We started to write goals. So we came a little backwards this way, but we still got our goals down. We did our burning desire. We got our prayer done. We got our vision and dream. Within 4 months of submitting the application, we were approved to come to America. It happened that quick, within 4 months. We arrived here on the 4th of January, 1990, 30 years ago, just 2 weeks ago. I wanted to celebrate that with you, but I didn't have a chance to. Amen? Thank you, America, for having us come. Thank you, God, for vision and dreams. We love you, and we love being here in America, and it's such a blessing and an honor for us to be part of this great nation. And I can tell you now, if you don't love America, leave. South Africa is looking for people.